I just typed it into good old Google and was like, Fergus agencies local or something like that. And I found an agency that popped up in like, it was like they do Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois. So I just kind of started looking at their website. And then it was like, they have like two sections. So it's like, are you interested in becoming a surrogate, or are you wanting to be what they call an intended parent? And then you go through this application process.
Welcome to the Messy Mom Podcast by Fit Mama in 30. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Carrie.
And the Messy Mom Podcast is all about ditching the idea of perfection during motherhood and embracing the messy, ranging from topics about pre and postnatal health and wellness, infertility, mom guilt, and of course, the craziness that comes with raising a family.
So if you would like to live on this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review, as this helps other mamas learn to embrace the messy with us. So get ready for 30 minutes of real, raw, and messy content. Let's get started.
Welcome to another episode of the Messy Mom Podcast. We are so excited about today's episode because we have a very special guest, Kayla Brugger, who Carrie and I met at a entrepreneurial conference. What was that, a year ago, Carrie?
I think it's been a year. I was just trying to think of when we met.
It's been almost exactly a year. Yeah. She is a ton of fun. She has pink hair, which is amazing. She owns her own Pilates company online, and she does, I think, one-on-ones at her house in Minnesota. She lives in Minnesota, called Pilates Body by Kayla. And she's also looking into something very interesting. She is looking into possibly becoming a surrogate. And that's what we discussed today, is what does that process look like? How do you have to prepare yourself for that? And she's kind of in that space of, maybe I'm going to do it, maybe I'm not. She's not quite sure, but just learning about her experience in the process was so interesting.
It was absolutely crazy just to hear just the beginning stages of the process. Like Bailey said, like she hasn't even like agreed, like she's not even close to being, I would say she's in the, just the start.
Infancy.
That's a great term. And to hear what she's just gone through in just a few short, the first few steps is, to me, was a lot.
Yeah. This podcast could have been 2 hours of all the different types of scenarios and legal things and just everything that is encompassed with being a surrogate. It's nuts. And
it
we
is.
Only have like 45 minutes of it.
Yeah. And it was cool to hear, I mean, because that's what a lot of the podcast focuses on, like, you know, her mental health through the whole process, because you have to imagine what that looks like when someone asks you that, like, you know, to be a surrogate, the amount of questions they ask and how deep they have to go into your medical history, your mental health history, you and your family. Like, you can tell, and she even talks about it, which is very interesting if you all want to hear about this, of just the process she's gone through and what the toll it has taken on her and her decisions moving forward. And if it is something she's going to do, it was just very cool. And she is so transparent. That's what we love about Kayla, is there's no guessing, and she just gives it to you all. And it's just great. It's refreshing to hear her perspective on it and her just authentic self and honesty that she puts into the whole podcast.
Exactly. And she told Carrie and I, she's like, do you really want me on? Because I'm, you know, kind of in this like space of, I don't know what I'm doing. We're like, no, we want to know, you know, the truth and your experience. And she really did a great job of kind of going through everything. And it was really eye-opening. And I'm curious to see what happens in the future, if she'll either decide to do it or not do it. So just, yeah, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Hey, Kayla, welcome to the Messy Mom Podcast. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We are doing pretty well. We're excited to have you on, excited to learn all about your maybe surrogacy journey. But before we kind of dive in, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, whether that's
family, school, hobbies, what your business is, all the things.
Well, my name is Kayla Brugger. I am from the west suburbs of Minnesota, or Minneapolis, Minnesota. So just a little bit outside of the Twin Cities area. And I was born and raised here. I don't know why I still live here because it is so cold and I hate the cold. But family's here and I have two littles, 2 and almost 4, boy and girl. So yeah, I own a Pilates studio that I operate out of my home. And that started when my daughter was 3 months old. And then it has just kind of evolved and grown from there. And now I have an online studio and show up on amazing podcasts like this. It's been so much fun.
Yeah, you're kind of like the podcast queen lately. You told us that you were on one earlier today too. So you're just killing it in the podcast world.
Which is so not my thing, but here I am.
Yeah, here you are, right? Oh, we love it. That's awesome. So you kind of have mentioned a couple things on your social media about surrogacy. So Carrie, why don't you kind of dive into the next question and go from there? Because I want to learn about it because I'm nosy.
Well, and if you listen to the intro, we met Kayla at a like social media business conference.
Uh-huh.
And we all kind of became fast friends. So we were like always sitting at the same table because we just, it was fun. She's fun to be around. Mm-hmm. So we've obviously developed a relationship with her on social media. So news to us recently, she dropped a little hint. So Kayla, we want to know when you became interested in being a surrogate. So that's a big deal.
I know. I feel like this shocked so many people. And when I first like had an initial conversation with an agency, I was like, I feel like maybe I should like tell my family about this because this is gonna really like be like, what? So you know what? Honestly, I can remember the exact moment where I was kind of like, who would do this? And I screenshotted a Facebook like sponsored post from a surrogacy agency that popped up on my Facebook in Minneapolis. And I sent it to 2 of my really good mom friends that I'm constantly in like a text chain with. And I was like, tempting, but no, is what I text them of the screenshot of the picture that I took. And one of my friends responded back and was like, oh my gosh, I would absolutely love to be a surrogate, but my husband is like a hard no. And I didn't even think of how my husband would react if I asked him that, because I just kind of do whatever I want without asking him first. But I don't know, something about that like just kind of started, like my wheel started turning. And I was like, but why not? You know? So it was like in the back of my mind and I was like, this is super interesting. I've had amazing pregnancies. I definitely don't want any more children of my own, but why wouldn't I maybe want to carry a baby for somebody else? Like if my body responded so well to pregnancy, like why not just learn more about the process and kind of see what it all entails and then make a decision from there? But I also was still like, I'm super early, like still feeling like in the postpartum. So I was just like, I don't know yet. And it had just stuck in the back of my mind for probably 6 months. And then it was over Christmas where I was like, okay, I think I need to like express this to somebody else now. And that was kind of when I had the conversation with my husband to kind of see like what his response would be. And then based on his reaction, that would kind of determine like, am I going to like move forward with pursuing this? Or is he just going to like shut it down?
Mm-hmm. What was his response? I have to know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we were in Arizona and we were watching. Have you guys watched that show Virgin River on Netflix?
No, but my parents have and my in-laws have, and they like love it. And I keep saying I need to watch it.
It's like such a feel good show. And I can't remember exactly the scene, but it was something along the lines where if it was IVF or she lost a pregnancy, something about pregnancy, but I can't remember the exact scene. But right then and there, like Grant made a comment to me and it was kind of like, oh, would you ever carry somebody's baby or something like that, like pertaining to the show? And I was like, oh, here's my opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you're asking, like, I maybe have been having this thought in my head for quite a while, but I thought it would just go away, and it hasn't been going away. So I asked him, I was like, well, how would you feel like if I were to become a surrogate? Because it is something that I've been thinking about in the back of my mind. And he was like, oh my gosh, that would be absolutely amazing. And aww, I would support you 100%, which I was shocked. Like, that was his initial reaction. I thought there would be like some hesitancy of like, oh, like, I feel like we need to like look into the process before like really like making a decision on it. But he was like all in, like, I support you in this. Like, that is super cool. And he was like, what a gift that would be to give somebody else. So,
oh, wow.
That's when I was like, okay, well.
Were you shocked? Were you like, did you like take a step back? Like, whoa, that wasn't what I was expecting at all.
He always is so supportive, but this is just like one of those things where I was like, I don't know, it could go either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he always encourages me to like look into things, like, mm-hmm, to truly figure out if it's what I want. He'll never like just shut me down right away. So it didn't completely surprise me. And also, plus, he probably knows me, that if he would have said no right off the bat, I would have been like, well, I'm doing it anyway, type of thing.
I love that.
Unless I don't respond to no very well.
Yeah. So when you started looking into possibly becoming a surrogate, what have you found as far as like specific guidelines or things that you have to do in order to become a surrogate? I guess, what's the process? Yeah.
Yeah. I just typed it into good old Google and was like, surrogacy agencies local or something like that. And I found an agency that popped up in like, it was like they do Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois. So I just kind of started looking at their website. And then it was like, they have like two sections. So it's like, are you interested in becoming a surrogate, or are you wanting to be what they call an intended parent? And then you go through this application process. The application process, upon doing the first one, I was like, whoa, this is intense. And each application probably took me 20 to 40 minutes, depending on the questionnaire. So, I mean, it's like a deep dive into everything, like your health, your family, all, like so many questions. And then you also, some of them like right away want to request like your medical records. So it's pretty intense. Like, mm-hmm, even if you just fill out the process, like you have to be pretty serious. Otherwise, you know, really nobody is going to waste their time doing it, mm-hmm, because it's so lengthy and so long. So a lot of the applications that I filled out, I think I ended up filling out four with four different agencies. That first one I was mentioning, they're small and they are like a way more intimate kind of agency. And it's just two gals that operate it. And then once I was filling out more applications and realizing like how big some of these agencies are that are worldwide or nationwide, they have, you know, massive amounts of team members. So you're filling out an application and then you're doing like the intake process with one team member, and then another team member is calling you about legal stuff or medical background stuff. And then at one point I got through. So the question that brought kind of everything to a halt is, are you taking any, like, your mental health? Are you taking any anxiety medications or depression or anything like that? So I've been struggling a lot with anxiety since like fall through the holidays, you know, really until like the last month or so. So I'm taking a low dose of sertraline and to help with managing anxiety. And mental health is such a big thing when you're going through the surrogacy process. You have to meet with social workers and they want to make sure that your mental health is well before, mm-hmm, you even really move forward. So one agency allowed me to move forward and have an interview with a social worker. So that was kind of like the next steps after like you were cleared on, like you have to have a background check and then like your medical records, then you could go to the next step, which was talking to the social worker for this specific agency. But the other agencies, they just said, no, we're not even going to move forward until you've been off the anxiety medication for a minimum of 3 months. So oh, wow. I totally understood, like, cause it, as like just even going through the applications, I was like, wow, this is really intense. And I didn't even understand like how the surrogacy process works. So even upon like before I even went through some of the full applications, the smaller agency, I actually had an hour long phone conversation with, and actually two of the other agencies I had, you know, like about a 20 to 30 minute conversation, just like trying to learn the process of like, okay, where, like, how do you pick, like, do intended parents pick you? Do you like make the matches? So a lot of these, you know, terms that I've never heard before, I'm like learning for the first time just through these phone conversations. Yeah, it was really quite interesting. But yeah, so with like the, a little bit of an update on where that conversation went with the social worker, the hope was that like having that conversation would then kind of put me essentially into a pool to just keep moving forward in the process until I was off the anxiety medication for the allocated amount of time. And apparently my interview with the social worker just brought some red flags. Like they were just too concerned about where my mental health was. So they just decided that they didn't feel like it was in my best interest to move forward at that point. So they mm-hmm. asked me to reapply in 6 months to a year. So that's, yeah. Mm-hmm. So everything is just kind of at a, you know, standstill with that. So I have actually been off the medication for 3 weeks and okay. feeling good. So at the time that I had that interview with the social worker, I was trying to wean off the anxiety medication. So I was like taking it every other day, every couple days, and I was feeling really good. But then it was like a stretch of probably like 3 to 5 days where I just like, I couldn't deal. Like that's like the easiest way like that I can explain it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't handle the chaos. So I was like, okay, I can't, like, I just right now with, you know, like my well-being and how I show up for my family is more important than wanting to be a surrogate right now. So I went back on the anxiety medication. And then, yeah, so just recently again, I started doing a 21-day detox cleanse. And it's a pretty intense program, but there's a lot of supplements that you take during that cleanse. And I was just forgetting to take the anxiety medication. And then it was like, oh shoot, I forgot to take it today again. And by the time I remembered, it was like the afternoon and you're supposed to take it in the morning. And I noticed like, if I don't take it in the morning, I have a really hard time sleeping at night. So then I was like, oh, I'll just take it tomorrow. Well, then I forgot the next day. And then, so then it was like 5 days and I was like, wait a second, how many has it been since I haven't taken it? And then when I realized that it was like 5 to 7 days, I'm like, this is interesting. So then I'm just have not taken it since. And it's been like 2.5, 3 weeks. And I haven't really even thought about it. But the first time I was trying to wean, I was just like immediately like, I need to start taking the medication again. So yeah, super, super interesting, like how everything mm-hmm. kind of falls in line as it's supposed to. But I do think maybe at the time, like, because I was going through the process too of learning, like maybe that was also bringing on a lot of overwhelming and anxious feelings for me that I didn't even realize, like learning about the process, like, oh, is this like really something that I want to do? But then in my head, I was kind of like, I really want to do this and I want to move forward with it now. So then I do feel like some of going through the process brought on some anxious feelings too, because it did kind of feel a little stressful because, you know, they were requiring a lot of information and they wanted to move forward too. But then it was like, wait, no, we're not ready. So yeah, it was kind of intense. So taking a step back and kind of looking at it now, even Grant, my husband, was like, I know you really want to do this, but your mental health is so much more important to our family. So I don't like, do you think this is stressing you? I'm like, no, it's not stressing me. You know? But obviously, and you're like, no, of course not. But now I'm like, yeah, that was probably triggering me a little bit.
Uh-huh. I'm sure some of the questions probably did too. You know, like when you're forced to sometimes like talk about yourself and like dig deep, it's like, whew, okay. Like I can imagine.
You feel under fire kind of.
Yeah. Like you're just constantly like, yeah. And I mean, and like, not they were trying to, I know it's a process, but maybe even judge that sometimes like with the questions you're asking. So I would feel like if someone's going that depth into my life, it would be maybe a little bit, a little stressful.
Yeah. You know, one of the questions looking back that the social worker asked me, I'm guessing like, cause she kind of made like a face when I said it. And it's like a response like that I have when I'm like joking about more kids or just like my life in general. And it probably was not a joke to a social worker. I'm like, noted.
Oh, that's funny. So let's say that they did kind of say, okay, you're through the next, I don't want to say round, not round, but that process, the interview process. Do you know about how long it takes till they say, okay, yes, we are going to pick you as a surrogate?
So I think once you, from my understanding, is once all of like your medical records are clear, and I should note this too, like even to become a surrogate, like one major requirement is you had to have one successful pregnancy yourself.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I guess that makes sense. Like,
yeah. And I never went through IVF or had any miscarriages or infertility, but so I'm not sure if that would play a role in your qualifications, because when I was answering the questionnaires, obviously it was thankfully able to just check no for those. So I don't know about that, but that maybe very well play a role into it, but I'm not sure. So sorry, what was the question again? The process of like kind of after. So I think it's kind of an ongoing conversation with the agency, and also it'll depend. So it was nice that I actually really talked to a super small agency, and I think she said they had maybe like 12 mamas like in their pool, whereas like a large nationwide or worldwide agency would have up to like 300 to 500 to like 1,000 like mamas waiting for an intended, oh, wow, a surrogate. So it depends on the agency that you're working with and how many intended parents they have in their pool. And then you kind of go into like this matching process, they call it. So I'm trying to remember if sometime like the agency will do that kind of work for you. So they ask you all these questions, like even down to like, okay, so you have to answer, like one of the questions is like, okay, so if you do, once we're into the process and there are, you know, say there are complications or maybe the genetic testing comes back, what is your stance on termination?
Oh, yeah.
So your response, like how do you feel about terminating a pregnancy, would have to align with the intended parent's wants and needs.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about all that type of.
I know all these crazy things like that you don't really think. I mean, like it was intense. And I just like looking back, I'm just like, oh my gosh, yeah, that was definitely giving me so much anxiety. But they do that matching process kind of for you. And then if they find a match, they send you the intended parent's profile, and you and your spouse, your spouse also has to be interviewed too before, you go into the pool. Like, okay, we're ready for you to become a surrogate once we find you a match. And once you get into that pool, the agency will match you with an intended parent where all the values and everything aligns. And then you look through the intended parent's profile and you as a surrogate make the decision of if you feel that this is going to be a right fit and if you want to move forward with the intended parent that they have brought to you. So you can say
so
yes.
You both have to kind of pick each other.
The intended parents don't have any, well, I think the, so first it starts with the agency asking the surrogate.
Okay.
If the surrogate says yes, then they would go back to the intended parent and say, hey, we have a surrogate that has said yes. And then they show the intended parents. Once both parties have said yes, then
okay.
The agency sets up a meeting time. So some agencies will be on the call with the intended parent and the surrogate. Some mm-hmm. agencies just set up the call. So then it's just you and the intended parent or the surrogate and the intended parent. So, which depending, I mean, I'm sure if you wanted, you know, to not have like a moderator of the agency on, you know, that kind of meet and greet call or whatever you want to call that, I'm sure that they would probably be okay with that if that was what you wanted. Cause I would maybe feel not as like authentic if someone was kind of like leading the conversation, or if there was, you know, like the agency just kind of like poking in the background. I don't know. I just feel like that would be weird for me.
It's like a host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would want it to just be like more like authentic and just natural, like be yourself and just have the conversation flow and really get to know each other without feeling like that there's maybe like an elephant in the room. So that's kind of the next steps. And then after that, if you both feel aligned, like the surrogate and the intended parent both say yes, then, and depending on your agency, it may or may not be local. So this was also really surprising to me. So obviously the intended parents are not able to get pregnant, have had miscarriages or, you know, infertility issues. So they are working with a fertility clinic. So the fertility clinic that they are working with will require you to go and like essentially get like a physical with it. So that could mean like if your intended parents are in California, wherever, and their clinic is in California, you will fly to California, have like an initial visit with the fertility clinic, make sure everything checks out good with your body and your physical health. Then you have to start taking hormones. So you're basically preparing your body for pregnancy. Like you have to trick your body that you're trying to get pregnant, right? Because you're not having the baby yourself. So
yeah,
your body has to respond to taking the insertion or there's a typical, you know, like a medical term where they're inserting the embryo and your body has to be ready to receive it. So there's a timeline with all that. So again, that would be a flight back to their, you know, their clinic for the embryo transfer. That's the word I was looking for. And I think that was maybe like a 2 or 3 day thing, because I think once the embryo was transferred, it was like they wanted to monitor you for maybe like 48 hours or longer or something. But I know that second one, like that transfer, you know, stay was longer than just like that initial like physical. And then after that, like once you're pregnant, pregnancy is confirmed, then you go to your OB of choice. So your, like if you already had an OB from your previous pregnancies that you loved or pregnancy, you're just basically going to your appointments as if, you know, it's like your child. It's super interesting. That really surprised me because I was under the impression that the intended parent would choose, you know, the OB, the clinic, where they want you to deliver, all of that stuff. So the surrogacy has a little bit more say than I was expecting to on that side of things. So like if you, I think too, like when you're answering your questionnaire, like you answer like are you, you know, working with a midwife? Or maybe that's like a conversation too, like that you have with the intended parents in that first initial like meetup. Are you, you know, home birth, that, you know, kind of thing. I don't know if they allow that, but yeah, all of that stuff is a little bit more your choice as a surrogate, which I think is really cool.
That makes sense. I mean, it's your, you're the one putting in the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So after that, then you just basically kind of move along the pregnancy kind of as you wish, as it was, you know, like you're pregnant, you're just moving along. And I don't know, like, so again, when you're filling out the questionnaire, like the intended parents, you know, might want to come to some appointments. They might require like a phone call or an update or picture, you know, so all of that stuff too would be like affirmed down before, you know, you commit and everything. So I don't know if how often like a intended parent would come to an appointment, but I was kind of like, I don't care. Like I would, I want them to be, I would personally want to be as like involved as possible. So that was also kind of what like interested me about the smaller agency being more local in what we call the tri-state area, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, because it's, you know, it's really drivable distance if you wanted to. And then you would have the birth at, you know, obviously the hospital of your choice with your OB. And then after that, well, once you are showing signs of labor, maybe the intended parents just fly up and just are waiting, you know, for baby's arrival. And then it's up to you as a surrogate if you are okay with them in the room at delivery. So you do have a lot of say as a surrogate, which you should.
That's great. you should. It's your body. I totally get it. And just so our listeners know, surrogate is housing, growing the baby, delivering the baby. It's not like an egg donor situation, right?
Correct. Yes. So,
I mean, I guess it probably could be in certain situations, but
it could be. Yeah, I would assume so. Mm-hmm. But generally, yes. So it is the intended parents' sperm and egg, not your baby at all, not using any of, like, you're just basically your body is the home to grow the baby. So yeah, not any genetic ties.
Okay. So let's chat about just ingredients. One of the biggest questions that Carrie and I get is, what protein powder do you recommend? And as you know, there are literally hundreds, thousands of protein powders out there, but they are not all created equal.
So just a few things that we really look for. We always make sure they're third-party tested, have no artificial sweeteners, and contain at least 20 grams or more of high-quality protein.
Carrie and I have both been using Just Ingredients for a while now, and it's because it checks off truly all of those boxes and more. I used it my entire pregnancy and continue to use it now. You can blend it, you can shake it, you can bake it, all the things. It's seriously so good and so delicious.
That's so true. Not only have I been giving it to my kids as an afternoon snack, I have used almost every one of their products. So we are really happy to be partnering with Just Ingredients to give you 10% off your order. So you can use code FITMAMA, that's FITMAMA at checkout. Or you can just click the link in our show notes and check out the code there. Hiya! Let's face it. Most kids' vitamins are basically candy, filled with sugar, artificial ingredients, and other additives. So while my kids would certainly prefer the chewable, gummy little sugar-filled vitamin, they still enjoy Hiya vitamins. Get it? Get it? And I feel good about what's inside of them. I've been giving them to the kids not only the daily vitamin, but also the probiotics for about a year now.
They're also a really super cute company. The first shipment, they send you refillable bottles and stickers so your kids can customize their bottles, make little artworks out of them. So if you're just looking for a vitamin that you can feel really good about giving to your kids and they will actually try, then give Hiya a try. Right now, you can get 50% off and free shipping when you use the link in our show notes.
Have you, since the, since the going through the screening process and everything, have you started doing anything now to like, like you said, going through the process was like, it's all this information. Now that you've kind of know what to expect and the whole thing, like, are you, do you feel like mentally and physically like ready to move forward? Like, and there's, are there things you're doing now that you're like working toward to make sure you are ready if the opportunity arises? Are you not there yet?
No, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Other than weaning off of the medication, that is kind of the, that's kind of the only, and that just kind of happened naturally without like intending to do that. My mindset kind of shifted like, okay, this isn't right for me right now. I need to kind of sit with this anxiety, work through this. And then once that kind of, I figure that out, then maybe we'll look into it again. But mentally, like I kind of shut it off, honestly, because I did feel a little defeated when I tried to wean off and I just couldn't deal. And then like, I felt like I basically just got shut down and told no. And yeah, I kind of felt like my, you know, my body was failing me a little bit when they were just like, no, you're not a good fit. I mean, that doesn't feel good for anybody. So yeah. I kind of, once that happened, I kind of was like, okay, this isn't the right time for this. So mentally, I've kind of like removed my mindset from that and just kind of have been moving forward without that in the back of my mind right now. So I don't know. I don't know where I sit with it right now. I still think it would be such an incredible thing to do. And it does sound a little bit naive too, but as you know, your body is my body as a Pilates instructor in fitness, like, you know, our bodies are so crucial to what we do in our profession. So that was another thing like that I was really trying to consider, even though my body held and housed and birthed my baby so well, it couldn't go that way, you know, like every pregnancy is different. Every birth is different. You know, what if it ended in, you know, a C-section? Like, I just don't, you know, I have to like mentally like prepare for all those what ifs. And that's a lot. That's heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole process is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am so fortunate like that my body has just been so capable of getting pregnant, being pregnant, you know, like I never had morning sickness. It just like really was like a breeze for me. And I hate saying that because I know that it's so, so the opposite for so many women.
But for some, it's just not.
Yeah. Step back and going, okay, so what if it wasn't how in my mind I expected it to be? Like how mentally would I handle that then? So yeah. And Dr. Jessie of Cairo for Moms, her and I met up and I kind of told her that I was interested in this and she was so shocked, but she a surrogacy mothers. And she has said that she was the one who actually really opened my eyes to the what ifs, because she said like one of her patients had birthed, you know, naturally and then had a C-section for a surrogate and then was another surrogate, I think. But I can't remember the exact situation, but she was like, you know, that it might not be how it has been. It could be completely different because it's not your egg. It's, you know, your body is kind of essentially taking on something, even though the hormones are there, but that's hormone replacement. So it's not this natural process, right? So your body could respond completely different. So when I kind of was like, okay, maybe this isn't going to go thinking it'll go in my head. And two, then my mother-in-law, like when she kind of heard that I was like looking into this, she got like, she's like, are you sure you want to do that? You know how moms always have our best interests at heart. She's just like, sure. Like, what if, you know, she goes, you know, dark. What if you hemorrhaged, you know, like something like that?
Yeah. Like the absolute worst case.
That's my mom would be the exact same way.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Don't go there. Okay. Cause I don't like that dark stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to see like the brighter side, or like I very much envision, like, I try to see like how I want things to happen. Like,
yeah,
I try not to go the other way. But then you have obviously these people in your life for a reason that are like, okay, let's reel this in a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, let's think about these other options that could happen as well. So yeah, I do feel like I'm a little bit in a standstill. It's still in the back of my mind, but I think it would have to be a timing thing. And then just, I'm not sure. I'm so torn now on it, because I feel like I was so there, and then it was like basically like no. So then I kind of like moved on from it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh my gosh, what a gift that would be. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
From like my heart pulls a little bit, and it would kind of be fun to be pregnant. And then I'm like, I never want to experience the newborn stage, no sleep again. Like, I've kind of like been there, done that, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like, so great to, but like, how weird would that be to go through pregnancy, go through birth, and then you're postpartum? Like, you're getting a full night's sleep. You're not having to How crazy would that be, right?
Yeah. You'd be recovered in no time.
Right. So I just am like, oh my gosh, how would my body respond postpartum if I'm not having to get up, you know, in the middle of the night, sleepless, caring for.
Like what I'm doing now.
Yeah, kind of like Bailey's current life.
My current life. That's why I have these bags under my eyes and I'm wearing a hat. Because I haven't washed my hair in like a week.
The bags don't go away. I actually had a client come into my studio the other day, and she was like, why do you have bags under your eyes?
Like, oh my gosh, that's so rude. It's early and I'm tired.
She's so blunt and just so straightforward, and I love her. And I don't like to get offended. And I'm like, honey, you forgot I have a 2- and a 4-year-old. I don't sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I do, but like, it's they're exhausting even when you're getting sleep at, you know, the toddler phases.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
You know, a lot.
Yeah, I totally get it. Well, I think it's so neat that you've even like considered this. And I think that says a lot about you and your personality and how caring you are for, you know, other people. And that you've even, like I said, looked into the process. And I think it takes a lot to even make that step. Oh, yeah. It takes a lot to even have that conversation with your spouse or your partner. And so I just found it fascinating when you shared on social media it was something you were considering. And like I said earlier, I'm so nosy and I just had to know more about the process, because I've always kind of wondered, just, I mean, I, not for myself, but just in general, like what that process looks like and how it, you know, is done in the background of things. So,
well, of course, I was the same way. I was on. Like, what is, when I had that first call, they were like, what do you want to know? I'm like, everything. I know nothing. Yeah. So even like down to, you know, like the financial stuff of it too. Like, I don't know if you want to go there, but that's.
Yeah, really, I do. I want to know. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm curious, like what is the typical amount of money you would get for being a surrogate, or the average, I guess?
Again, like, I was really surprised by it too. And it depends on the agency. So it can range anywhere. So it's also different if you're like, if you've been a surrogate before and it's like your second surrogacy, your payments or like your earnings are higher. Like, you qualify for like another tier versus if you're like a first time surrogate, which is super interesting.
Yeah.
But I think that would. It makes sense because you've successfully done it once. You know, it's kind of like a promotion. Mm-hmm. Like, they know that you're a good candidate because you've already done it once. So, you know, they can really feel confident matching you with an intended parent. So it totally made sense. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. So it can range anywhere. This is a wide range depending on agency. So one agency was like around 40,000, and then another agency was all the way up to like 70,000. So it's not just like, okay, here's your payment. It comes in like chunks, essentially. So, I'm trying to remember because I didn't really get this deep into that. But what I remember is when I was talking to like the first in, not the social worker, but the intake person, I guess, she mentioned that there you get paid like just going, even talking with the social worker, like you got paid to do that for your time. Oh. And then they would compensate you. So like there's so many different forms of like how you can receive compensation. So that's why the spread is so wide. So like you would get compensated if you had to, you know, take off of work. You would get compensated for maternity clothes. You would receive just like an allocated like chunk of payment like every 2 weeks, or maybe after you reached like 20 weeks or, you know, certain milestones, you would receive X amount of money. But then you would you would also receive payments for like, you know, like almost like supplies, I guess you would call it. So there was just so many different things that kind of chunked up the money to like this total being such a wide range of
income. Yeah.
But yeah, then like after delivery and the process was complete, that was like when you would receive like the last final, like the big amount, which would, you know, be like 15 to like 25,000. I think that would kind of come like at the end in a really big chunk. And then I was also wondering about this, which you guys would probably be curious too, is I'm like, okay, so you've just delivered. I'm sure, Bailey, you're still nursing, humping, the whole thing, right?
So oh, yeah.
What do you do with your, you know, like your boobs are to feed baby, but you don't have baby. So if you can produce milk, like, do they want your milk? So,
oh, good question. Yeah.
Like, okay. Do you just like, you know, work through the process of just letting process. Your, you know, weaning and drying up? So they do pay you per week, but I can't remember the amount, but I feel like it was like $250 a week to pump and supply milk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. For the baby and the intended parents. Which I was like, oh, wow. Like, so you can continue to make money, like, you know, well beyond. Like, I mean, if you wanted to pump for a year, like, if you think about it, you know,
that's a job.
That's a job.
That's a long job. Yeah.
Yeah.
So but there's still something that you get compensated for.
Compensated for, but then also to, like, you really in your heart, that, you know, has to be something that you really want to do, because like, you know, it's work.
Yeah. 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 Right. It's definite work.
Yeah.
There's so many different scenarios and situations, and that's so interesting to me.
Yeah, I agree.
You can go so many different ways. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, Kayla, thanks for coming on. I like this. What I know you ask us, I think even before we started recording, you're like, are you sure you should interview asking me these? Cause I don't know. And Bailey and I both said like, yes, you are the reason, because we knew you would come on here and just give your personal, brutal, honest story. Cause that's what you do. And that's what's so cool about it. Like just the unfiltered, here it is. I love it. And like, that's what we like. That's what we enjoy. I think that's what people want to hear too. You know, no one wants to hear sugar-coated versions. Like, this was very cool. This was,
yeah,
you know,
thank you so much.
It's just very cool to hear your process, like how you've like, you know, gone whole about it and how some things aren't right for the time. They might be later. So it's just been
it's been really cool to hear your story, and we appreciate you coming on and being so honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I feel like I did all the talking.
You're supposed to. You're our guest. Yeah. Supposed to. That's the point. Yeah.
Well, I miss you, ladies. I hope we can meet up again. It was so awesome how we connected and have stayed connected and just have been able to lean on each other as our businesses grow and help each other through this crazy life of entrepreneurship. And I think that's so important to have a support system.
It is. Speaking of, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you? Social media, where do you hang out? Give us the deets.
I'm on all platforms, Pilates Body by Kayla. I mainly hang out on YouTube and Instagram, but also TikTok, Pinterest, Facebook. You can find me there. Same handle across the board, Pilates Body by Kayla.
She has awesome pink hair.
Yes, she does. You have to see. If you're not watching this, the video, you have to see the clip or check her out because she does. She rocks pink hair like you would not believe.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just got it done too. So it's like super good. Right?
I was going to ask you if you just got it done. It looks like you just got like a fresh cut.
Yeah.
It's nice and bright.
Like, the roots are just barely showing. It's like.
It's good.
This is, like, the vibrancy and the fun is like so fun when you get it done and then it just quickly fades.
My cousin has pink hair too and she says the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, it looks amazing.
Like, yeah, it looks so good.
Thank you. When you said you hadn't washed your hair for like a week, I was like, well, I went 15 days before I washed my hair after I got it done because it fades so fast. And
yeah. And I'm sure it's not cheap. Sure.
Yeah. That too.
Oh, everything.
Yeah. So thanks for coming on, Kayla.
Thank you, ladies. It's so good to connect with you again.
Awesome. All right, mamas, until next time.
Bye.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. You can find us on Instagram at FitMamIn30. That's FitMamIn30. And let us know what you liked about this episode. We love hearing your feedback and what is resonating with you.
You can always find the links and resources mentioned in the show on our website, www.fitmamain30.com, along with our programs for prenatal, postnatal, and beyond. Until next time, bye, mamas.